be used for good or evil, but it is definitely not designed to help you. You know, it's not designed to draw you closer to the Lord. How much time are you spending on, you know, scrolling through a feed versus how much time you're spending in scripture?
Yeah.
That's probably an embarrassing number for all of us, myself included. Of course, this is my career. To clarify, what I work with small businesses and try to help them become relevant in their communities and grow them and help them use social media for good instead of evil. Important to note that it is designed, yes, to keep you addicted, to keep you in harm's way, for sure. And if you find yourself having a problem with it, having challenges with it, there are so many tools to put in place to help you with that, to help you get out of it.
Our children are leaving the faith in droves.
As a result.
Oh, I got a pause here.
We're going live right now.
How can we raise our kids to stand firm, have a faith that lasts, and navigate such a time as this?
We're here to report that our nation's capital has just been...
To turn the nation, you have to take the next generation.
Today in the news, COVID-19 numbers.
I'm Jake McCandless, and this is my podcast, Stand Firm Parents. We're working together to help our children have a faith that lasts.
And now, here's Jake McCandless.
From LifeWord Studios, I'm Jake McCandless. This is Stand Firm Parents, and are you ready for part two? I've extended time with my guest because I wanted to get in everything, and so I hope you caught our previous episode with a friend of mine, Kayla Norris, who, again, also was very responsible for me even doing this podcast. And if you caught that previous episode, I surprised her with some great news about how great this is going. We talked about a very challenging situation for a marriage. As Kayla shared her experience of a neurotypical and neurodiverse marriage and the challenges that come with that and the steps that they've taken and how she's been able to help others. And the hope with all of that was to encourage us all to take steps wherever we're at in our marriages, in our relationships, and to be intentional. But our relationships are hard enough. Marriage is hard enough, but there's external forces out there working against us. And one of those is the algorithm behind what we're seeing on our social media feeds, whether that's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, I don't know what else is out there, X, Twitter, YouTube, whatever that is. There's a mechanism, I don't understand it, but there's a mechanism that is bringing us content. And as we scroll, there's just certain pieces of content coming our way. So here we go. We're going to dive into how the algorithm isn't necessarily our friend when it comes to marriage. I've asked you to take off that marriage and ministry hat and talk some social media with us. And where this is coming from is, so this has been me and my wife has had probably the most challenging year. Just a lot of different things has made that challenging. And we had just a point where we just, I don't know how this started, but we're just like, I just told her, I said, look at what my social media feed is telling me I should do in my marriage. And she pulled up hers. And so over the past couple months, we've actually been comparing posts, comparing those things. And there's some voices speaking into us and speaking into our marriages. So Amanda just told me just this week, she says, looks like my Facebook's saying I need to be single. Could you speak a bit about what we're facing when we turn on our feed, whatever that might be?
First of all, social media is not your friend. It is not designed to be your friend. Here we are using social media. It has become a commodity in many ways. It has become a way for people to make careers, and it can be wielded for good.
Yeah.
So I want to say
that. That's what we're doing right here.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But it is not your friend. And the way social media works is it creates profiles of you, creates some sort of character study of who you are. And it is designed to make you buy or engage with content that will make you addicted in whatever way the algorithm thinks that you might be best hooked.
Yeah.
So it blows my mind sometimes whenever my poor husband, what comes across like his Twitter feed every now and then. Now it's X. And I know that some of that has improved and everything, but, and it's true for mine as well. I was actually talking to my husband yesterday about how I am getting bombarded with these terrible, like, role play download games or whatever that are supposed to be like romance novels or something where you get to be one of the characters. And it's like a female version of pornography, I guess. Not to say that women can't engage in pornography of all types. Your addiction is real. And okay, that's fine. Like, we can talk about that in another place. But yeah, it is, it's designed, it is designed to make you sin, because sin is addiction. And whatever they can do to keep you focused and addicted and consuming and paying for whatever it is, better off they are.
Okay, so that sounds like something I would say as a pastor. Social media is to make you sin, but here you are, someone who has made their living helping businesses build their brand on social media. And so, like, it's like, I couldn't say that. Like, if I said that, it's like a crazy preacher. It's gonna make us burn our CDs. But you are in this world, help businesses grow. You've helped me grow. But you mean that? Really? Social media is set to help us sin?
I think it's pretty easy to see. Of course, social media is a tool, like I said, it can be used for good or evil. But it is definitely not designed to help you. You know, it's not designed to draw you closer to the Lord. How much time are you spending on, you know, scrolling through a feed versus how much time you're spending in scripture?
Yeah.
That's probably an embarrassing number for all of us, myself included. Of course, this is my career. To clarify, what I work with small businesses and try to help them, you know, become relevant in their communities and grow them and help them use social media for good instead of evil. And I'm also really picky about the types of businesses that I do business with as well. Important to note that it is designed, yes, to keep you addicted, to keep you in harm's way, for sure. And if you or find yourself having a problem with it, having challenges with it, there are so many tools to put in place to help you with that, to help you get out of it. And I have some friends that I'm in recovery programs with. They got rid of their smartphones altogether because they saw what a challenge it was for them. They went back old-fashioned Nokia flip phones. They still make them. You know, they noticed that. And some of them, it wasn't like a pornography addiction or a shopping addiction. Some of them were so invested in the political sphere. Yeah. It was keeping their heart rates and their anger at such an unhealthy level. So they're saying, I can't be here. I can't do this anymore. It is not designed to make you happier, that is for sure, or holier.
So, I mean, I don't want to say anything about age or anything here, but you've been in marketing for some time. You were in television, but now you focus in on social media. I think that speaks probably to the success. What can happen through digital marketing that couldn't happen in these previous platforms? Just how good is this?
Yeah. So essentially, the way marketing and advertising used to work, it used to be, you know, your more traditional, and they still exist, your more traditional streams like television, radio, billboard. Of course, radio now is more podcasting, but that's digital. It's not over the air. So it used to be cast a wide net and we're going to catch a lot of fish. That's the way marketing used to be and still can be. But now it's, I am fishing for tuna. I am fishing for salmon. Now they know exactly how to target you as an individual based on your consumer behaviors. So they can pretty much figure out who you are in less than a second, so that they can target you with things that are going to keep you addicted, stressed, unhappy, whatever that is.
That's wild. That is wild. So we, like, Which, if you're viewing this, you were targeted. So, if for the first time, and that's just, in one sense, for marketing aspect, it's beautiful. It's amazing what you can do. But a lot of the messaging that we're getting is coming from people trying to promote their brand and to make a living, not necessarily to encourage us. So when you speak about us being targeted, how do we balance these messages we're getting? So in our previous episode, we were talking about, you were talking about how you work with wives and marriages where their spouse is on the spectrum. And you were talking about, in many of those cases, they talk about, or think, maybe my husband's a narcissist, and we walk through that. Well, I think one of the things that just like that's a, I know it's a reality, but it's also a buzz phrase right now. And so you see it on so many like posts, so many different things. How do you, if you're receiving that all the time and you're thinking, well, maybe that explains my spouse or whatever, how do you balance that?
Yeah. So one of the things that I think people don't know about the algorithm, the mysterious overlord of the algorithm, is that you actually have a lot of freedom in being able to control what kind of content comes into your feed. If you feel like you're being, I'm going to share a story. I saw a woman comment on a news publication. She said, I couldn't believe how many, and again, this is because this is what the internet is basically driven to do. I don't mean to keep using the P word, but it's just a fact. She's like, I couldn't believe how many ads there were on your website targeting my husband for pornography. And I didn't know how to gently tell her that that's based on his search history. Like, you really do have a lot of power and are able to control what comes into your feed. Obviously, they see who you are as a person and your behaviors and everything. So they want to try to veer you off course. Like, you will, those things will happen. But for me, my feed is very tailored to who I am. And you've got to take some of that control. Like, if you only drink Coca-Cola, you're probably going to get a ton of kidney stones. So if you only search for, is my husband narcissistic? Is my husband a serial killer? Like, if you only download true crime podcasts, things like that, your feed is going to be shaped for that. So I make a really intentional effort to have my feed be positive. Yeah. I follow accounts that are really positive, like yours, and a lot of home decorating and crafting and art, you know, and Christian. I try to make my feed as positive as I possibly can, so that whenever I do go down that rabbit hole, it's me just watching pretty safe content. I'm ultimately very safe. I don't really have that many negative interactions on my feed now.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so what you're putting in, you have the opportunity to, we're not going to get away from our social media feed. I think for the most part, for most everyone, we use it. And so, but making sure that we're seeing positive things. And I think that reinforcing that.
Basically, because we have all the purchasing power. So that's why you're always signing the fine print of, yes, they're going to sell your data. Yes, you're going to accept cookies and everything like that. Because they want to know who you are, because the more they know about you, the more they can get you to purchase, the more they can get you to engage. That's the more they can get you to engage. So if they can, they want your money. Ultimately, like, we have all the buying power. They just want us to spend money with them. And that's where that comes from.
Yeah. So we touched on a little bit. You gave us some tips of just like keeping your feed positive. Friend things that are going to positive. Follow things that are going to be positive. Yeah, that should be hard. One of the things that I have seen is that even people in our feeds that maybe are friends of ours, they're sharing things that maybe, and people tend to share negative things more than that. And so maybe even unfriending someone or something like that. But
never underestimate the power of the mute button. You don't have to unfriend everyone, to block them, you know, but I use that mute button religiously. And I have, you know, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and I'm not active on Instagram at all, not personally. It's whatever pictures I post on Facebook, they just go to Instagram. I do not scroll Instagram at all. My Facebook feed, I keep it all friends and family. And so I have it very tailored to who do I want to see in my feed? Who, you know, who do I want to be able to engage with? And it's people that, you know, I'm the closest to, or, you know, just really want to keep up with, you know, friends from high school and things like that. People I don't live around anymore, you know, just, you know, I love them. And then my ex feed, it is pure politics. Pure politics and crazy and religion, but I don't get on there very often. It's whenever I try to have a really healthy balance of that. And I will go through phases. I'll go through spurts of being super, super active, and then I'll take a break from it. But you gotta control your feed. You gotta control yourself in it. Never underestimate the power of the mute button on any social media account.
Yeah, and on X you could do the list, because I create lists of different things I want to follow as well. Made me feel better on X or on Twitter, because I am, like, I've had someone message me and it's like, oh, Jake, I thought you were dead, because I like go in a fury on some things and then I just like forget it for like months and then I go back. Yep. But actually your husband David has been pushing me. He's like, Jake, you got to be more active. If anybody wants to know how I really feel about something, that might be the only place that you're going to find it, because I try to filter myself, but there are times I may have been sitting in a church service a few weeks ago and just popping off tweets because I just couldn't handle the heresy anymore. Okay. So you've given us some practical things already. Any more practical steps of just controlling what we put in?
Yeah. So there are apps that you can put on your phone, and even I'm an iPhone user, but they have like alarms and stuff to like how much time you've spent on there. And there are apps that you can download that completely limit your time. And they're super, super helpful, especially if you feel like you do have true social media addiction. It's funny, I live in this world, you know, I work in this world, and maybe because I know too much, I am not personally very active. I don't like to sit and doom scroll by any means, because it's just like, I'm so sick of it. But, you know, I see people in my life who, you know, they just live yeah. addicted to their algorithm. And especially TikTok hooks you like none other. It is so, so good at hooking you. And just like any other addiction or potential sin issue, obviously, like, having a social media account is not a sin. Engaging with it to addictive degrees, we're getting into dangerous waters there. Have accountability. If you are struggling with some of the more perverse aspects of social media, there are apps for that. Covenant Eyes is a great app and tool for being able to manage those types of addictions. And it's very cost effective. So I think that you just have to be willing to be honest about your time with it. It's kind of like food addiction. So I got no problems sharing my vulnerabilities and struggles. I struggle with food issues, and I have on and off my entire life. So it's one of those things where I think this is only hurting me. It's not a big deal, right? And when in reality, that's just not true at all. Like, if I'm completely unhealthy, then that impacts my ability to be super active in my personal life. But if my husband wants to go do something fun, I'm like, I don't feel like it. Or it impacts if I'm eating nothing but sugar, then I'm going to get type 2 diabetes and have all the challenges that come with that. Social media is like that. It doesn't feel like an actual sin because it's not harming anyone. I didn't murder anyone. It's not a big deal, right? But on the contrary, it's probably impacting your personal relationships. And my husband had a phone issue for a really long time because he just would completely escape in it. Phones are escapism 101. And so, you know, we put boundaries in place of, you know, whenever we're at home, whenever we're together, there are no phones. There is a game that we like to play together. So sometimes we'll play that game together on our phone. But yeah, we try not to ever have like more than one screen going at a time in our house.
Okay, so we've talked about marriage twice. And it seems like if I could take a theme away, it keeps coming back to intentionality. It keeps talking about like just do something and communicating about that intentionality. With that, so we've talked about just the power of social media. We're being targeted. We're the basically the product. You know, finding out about us. You've given us some practical advice. Just could you leave us with some encouragement on keeping that, you know, that positivity in our lives, in our marriages through social media?
One of the things that we did very early on, whenever we were trying to improve the health of our marriage, was we had just an open phone policy. We had always had an open phone policy, but it was always kind of protected. And if you feel like you have, there's, if you feel like you have to check your husband's phone, something's wrong. Yeah, something was wrong. Like something was wrong between us, both of us. And so we had that available and like we made it available, but because we were being so honest and vulnerable with each other, it became a non-issue. And also, like, if you do feel like you're in that state where you're having to check your spouse's phone for messages, inappropriate content and stuff like that, like, get some help. That's okay. It's totally appropriate. It is one of the biggest windows of opportunity for Satan in our lives because we live with our phones in our hands. We live with it. It's totally okay to admit that you don't have a handle on this and bring other people into that.
Yeah.
It is, if you are willing to draw the boundary, if you are willing to create those lines in your life, there's so much freedom in it. What's funny is whenever we started limiting technology in our lives, I had true withdrawals. I really did. Yes. We canceled so many streaming platforms and stuff like that. And so we only had like YouTube and Netflix for a long time. And I found that that was the first time I had ever really engaged with YouTube. And so I found like a bunch of content creators and started treating that like my TV watching. I was like, this is not any better. I'm just watching. I've just traded one for another. Yeah. So if you're willing to create the boundaries, if you're willing to put those lines in place, there's so much freedom in it. One of the things that people are saying right now is go touch grass, because we're so stuck inside, and go outside, like go spend. We went hunting this morning. We're a true Arkansans, and so before the sun came up and before the workday started, we went hunting, and it was the most magical time. And we spent time in the word, in the sunrise from a deer blind. It was fantastic. And so get up in the morning and be filled up. Do not start your day on your phone. Don't end your day on your phone. It will give you so much freedom.
Okay. So this has happened every time I talk with technology people or people in the digital marketing world. One, they don't tend to use it as much as I do or other people I know do. They speak of the dangers, but then quickly jump to not just talking about, okay, something you see and how that influences you, but just overall health that comes from digital devices, social media, and all that stuff. It's the common theme is it's not just, hey, a purity issue or a mindset issue, but just overall health. Kayla, it's been incredible. We've got to hang out now over 2 episodes. And thank you so much for speaking to us about just difficult marriages and encouragement there, but then talking about and letting us in kind of behind the scenes a bit of the social media world. Kayla, thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me. It's awesome.
I appreciate Kayla sharing over 2 episodes and the work that she's doing, the help that she's given Stand Firm. And I really set myself up talking about, hey, this came out of a discussion me and my wife had about what our feeds were telling us. And then Kayla says, hey, it depends on what you're looking up and what you're talking about. Busted, right? But great info and a lot of things I wasn't even thinking about. But as I said in the beginning, the algorithm out there on our social media feeds isn't trying to necessarily make our life better, nor definitely our marriages and relationships. And typically what even your friends, who typically may be positive, what they share, that we don't typically share the positivity of our relationships and our marriages. We should, but we definitely share the struggles or share memes that convey that. So I'm curious, what's your action step? I know for me, which my feed's pretty cool. Not terrible, but I've not intentionally really made sure positive things are in there. Most of the time, it's more of inquiring about, my feed's not terrible, but I don't think I've intentionally ever thought, hey, how can I put positivity in my life by choosing something to follow that would bring positivity? It's more knowledge-based or, I don't know, current events. I don't even know. I don't think I've done anything necessarily intentional with my feed. So maybe we should. Maybe that's a step I need to take. What's a step you can take? And again, Kayla pointed out a lot of different struggle areas for marriage related to our devices and related to online. But I hope over the last 2 episodes that you've been encouraged again, we keep coming back to it in being intentional, not just as a parent, but for your marriage as well. Again, thanks for listening. Hey, in our first episode with Kayla, she talked about her husband, David, has a line of Bible study journals that are out, and he has created a Bible study journal for someone who is neurodiverse, which is incredible. Be sure to check that out. You can find that at Amazon. There should be a link there in the notes wherever you're viewing this. You've been listening to Stand Firm Parents. Stand Firm Parents is a production of Stand Firm Ministries in partnership with LifeWord Studios, created by Jake McCandless and Brandon Harrington of Dime Collective. Again, thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe, share, and most importantly, stand firm.